All right, thank you, Pastor. Let's open our Bibles, if we will, please, the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment. I do want to say it's a real joy to be back here at Island Ford Baptist Church. And I praise the Lord for all the good times we've had together. But I'm glad God's not changed. Word of God's not lost His power. The Holy Ghost has not lost His power. And God is able. God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Find your place in the Word of God. And I start to say I have a pretty big thinker. And a pretty big asker. God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I praise the Lord for His goodness. Appreciate the testimonies and the preaching. And everything's been done already. Thank you again, Pastor, for the privilege to be back. And good to be here. Let's pray the Lord will bless and have His way, and God's will be done. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, I want to begin reading. Let me just start with verse number 5 and read a few verses and have a moment of prayer. And then give you what I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart to begin tonight. Verse number 5, the Bible said, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and the temperance, patience, and the patience, godliness, and the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in ye and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, the Bible said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse number 12, the Bible said, wherefore, I will not be negligent to you to put you in always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yet I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, have these things always in your remembrance. Keep your Bible open, let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer, then the message for this evening from God's eternal Word. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you in prayer. Father, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, I want to thank you one more time. You let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me, the Lord, by the marvelous grace of God. You called me to preach. You put me in the ministry. You've kept me there, dear Lord, all of these years. And the Lord, you've given me a great joy and victory in knowing and serving you. Father, again, I want to say with the songwriter, thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon me. Father, but while I'm counting my blessings, help me to be conscious of the fact that multitudes around the world cannot make the statements that I just made. Many, dear Lord, have never seen a copy of the Word of God. They have never met a preacher. They have no church to go to. They live in either in darkness, and they'll lift their eyes in a Christless hell unless we who have the gospel get the gospel to them before it's eternally too late. Thank you again, Father, for the missions outreach of this church and this people. And I pray to the Lord tonight that you'll increase our faith, that you might increase our finances, that you might increase our fruit, our field, for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord, to help your people. Help us all. We'll praise you for what you do. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Study of the Word of God this evening. My voice is a little bit raspy. You pray God will help me and use me, and the Lord's will be done. don't know how many years now I've been coming up here, but more than two. This is the 15th anniversary of harvest time, so I've been coming here longer than that. And when you preach as much as I preach here, I just go ahead and tell you, it's hard to come up with new mission messages. That used to bother me till I realized y'all sing the same songs. So if you're going to sing the same songs, why can't I preach the same scripture? Amen, preachers, that's good there, isn't it? Am I not on? I'm not on. All right, I didn't think I sounded like I was when I turned around there a while ago. I pushed that, and that's the mute button. Power, that's what I need, power. Oh, Lord, send the power now. Amen, all right. But I thought a minute ago, and let me back up and just finish what I started to say. I was praying and thinking about what God wanted me to do. And God brought this thought to my mind. I'm reading here out of 2 Peter chapter number 1, where Peter mentions three times about stirring you up by putting you in remembrance. You know, I thought as I was coming up the road today, we preachers would soon get out of a job if everybody had done what we told them to do and never forgot. Can you imagine pastoring a church and preaching one time on separation and it lasts a lifetime for everybody? Can you imagine preaching on soul winning and it lasts a lifetime? You know what I'm talking about. If you pastor a church, you just got to, can I use a word, maybe not a proper word, but you just got to hammer it and hammer it and hammer it over and over again. And so I felt like the Holy Spirit nudged my heart that I want to preach maybe all three of these nights on the subject, remind me again. Amen. Remind me again. Or some things we need stirred about. Amen. Now, I'm convinced if God ever works a work of grace in your life, you will continue to do it. Yes, sir. I believe that. Yes, sir. And I'm not boasting, please, and if it bothers you, just get over it. But I've not had to have anybody preach to me on separation in years. I've not had to have anybody preach on tithing to me in years. Come on now, don't die on me. I'll let you know when it's dying time, we'll all die decently and in order. But there's some things in life, and for many people, you got to preach on separation all the time or they'll go right back. You got to deal with tithing and other issues or they fall away from it. And so God commands us to remind them. I thought about Paul in Philippians chapter number 3. He said, to say the same thing to you, indeed, is not to me grievous. Right. Paul said, it don't bother me to preach it again. Right. Amen. So I want to deal tonight in this subject. I have three thoughts I'm going to deal with, the Lord willing, next three nights. But I want to preach on the effect of missions in these three areas. Number one, tonight I want to preach on the effect of missions in the local church. Number two, I want to preach on everyone tomorrow night on the effect of missions in the Lord's commission. Number three, I want to preach on the effect of missions to that lost crowd. Oh, yeah. And I deal with them as the Holy Spirit develops them in my heart. I haven't gotten developed. I just wrote the thoughts down. And I think I'm ready for tonight. So you pray God will help me and use me. And the Lord's will be done. Yeah. I don't know how many years ago it was. I preached it here before, I'm sure. But God gave me a message years ago on what missions does for the local church. Now I want to make a statement. I think you'll understand it, but I want to make it anyway. You missionaries are here tonight. I'm glad you're here. Thank God for you. Amen. Having said that, I'm going to ignore you tonight. I'm going to preach to the church. Yeah. I believe if we knew the heart of God and the reality of truth, Brother Doug, the real purpose of missions meetings, number one, is not for missionaries. That's the fruit of the root. But the mission, the real heart of missions is the local church. You see, a church cannot function very much beyond its knowledge. Can I make this statement? There are thousands and thousands, Brother Herbert, of Baptist folk that love God, that go to church regularly, but they're not doing much for missions because they don't know much for missions. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Every member of this church is involved in missions giving and faith promise giving. You're involved because somebody preached to you, somebody taught you, and somebody told you about what it was. But God wants us to have a mission conference so that the local church can be exposed to the Bible teachings about missions, and then also the burden of missions and the function of missions in that local church. Again, thank God for missionaries. But what good is missionaries if the church misses the message and the effect of missions for them? So I want to deal tonight on that subject, on the effects of this meeting on this local church. Let me say to you, first of all, that we need to be reminded about missions, because missions will affect the faith of the church members. Missions and preaching on it like we're going to do and others will be doing, and the testimony of the missionaries, the whole, can I use the word program, the whole service will be geared to help the faith of God's people. You say, preacher, how are you going to do it? Oh, I'm not. Because I can't. But I know a man that can. Amen. I know the recipe. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I want to say to you, first of all, that the faith of the church members of this church and all these others who are visiting with us will be built, can I use that word, this week, by the expounding of Scriptures. I want to say this. If we're saved, preaching will affect us.
That's right. Amen.
The truth will affect us. You cannot be in this meeting from now to the close of it, even if you don't get to come every service. But what God's going to challenge you with some truth that'll work on your faith.
Amen.
The challenge that comes by the expounding of Scriptures. We need meetings like this so God can use His service to preach and teach the Word of God and let that Word of God produce faith in the life of church membership. Did I say this without boasting on myself? I've had the wonderful privilege now for 40 years. I'm in my 40th year of preaching Faith Promise.
Amen.
I've had the wonderful privilege, Brother Herbert, to be used of God to open eyes, and people have saw it and got involved. And churches, I don't have any churches I've introduced to biblical missions, and I'm not boasting on me. I'm just saying, God, let me get in on it. I'm grateful to God for it. I saw it in the church that I pastored in 1974 when I started. A church that was giving a percentage of the tithe into the mission program. And we were doing pretty good, we thought. Because we was doing what everybody else is doing. Now, I'll deal with it. You don't know it already. But nowhere in the Bible can you find where the tithe was ever planned or ordained of God for missions. That's to pay the bills of the normal function of the local church. When all you do is support missions out of the Lord's tithe, you're robbing the church of some money it could use somewhere else on the local scene and missing God's plan for that local church.
Amen.
Boy, I didn't know I was going to get all that in, but I need an amen right there.
Amen.
But I'm saying to you, God will set things in order for the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
I remember years ago, I was preaching in Florida. Dear man of God, loved God, and I didn't know it. But he made a statement, show me faith promise in the Bible and I'll do it. You know, when I found out about it, when I preached on it and sat down, he said, I see it.
Amen.
And that man's been involved in missions now for a number of years, left the pastor and went involved in it. But I'm saying to you, the Word of God will build faith.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, it's not figure promise, it's faith promise that God honors. That it'll build the faith of the church. You say, preacher, I'm going to. Number one, about expounding the Scriptures. Number two, missionaries, listen to me. by the experiences that are shared. I'm telling you, God uses testimonies. There's something inside of all of us. If God will do it for Him, if God will do it on His field, God will do it on my field. If God will do it in His church, God will do it in our church. I'm saying to you, listen, God uses that. And I say to you, missionaries, and I know you just spoke tonight or young, just beginning, but if you're an experienced missionary, tell what God's done. Paul never got over giving his testimony. Don't you get over it. Tell what God's done. I'm afraid the reason God don't do much for some people, they won't tell it. They'd rather come to church and brag on what the devil's done. Well, I tell you, that low-down devil, he's fought me all day. He'll be back tomorrow and fight you again, so you'll come back tomorrow night and tell it again. You get him brag on the Lord, and I promise you, God will show up tomorrow and do something else so you can brag on Him tomorrow night. Amen. Amen. But the experiences that are shared, I've seen it so many times. You have too. Somebody basically with nothing. I'm talking about in the ability to give much to missions. But God spoke to their heart. And somehow or another, they grabbed enough faith, and that's not a good expression, enough faith grabbed them to try it.
Amen.
To try it. I may have told this before, but I was preaching, come to my mind, I was preaching down on the panhandle of Florida. And in that particular meeting, there was a couple in that church that just got saved. They were about 38, 40 years old, lived a rough life of sin, had the marks of sin on their body. Now, I deal with that word where God told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 13, to experiment. I looked that up and it means the same thing in Greek it means in Georgia. Try and see if it works.
Right.
Try and see.
Yep.
I challenged that and that man asked me, can I get in on this? I've never told anybody no.
Right.
I'm too old to start now. At the close of the service, he said, Sunday morning, he said, I done it. I said, what'd you do? And he said, I promised $30 a month. Pastor standing there and his eyeballs went into orbit. We walked away and he said, if you just knew his financial ability. I looked at him, Brother Jeff, and I said, I didn't say it, I thought it. I said, I don't know his, but I know his. God honors faith. God honors His Word above His name. I'm telling you, you can grab hold of the promise of God and swing out, my friend, without any insight, without any personal feelings, without any knowledge about what others may be going to do. I'm telling you, God will give you a promise. And so your faith is increased by the expounding of Scriptures, by the experience that is shared. Number three. Missionaries, listen again. Church members, listen again. Our faith is increased by the expressions of satisfaction. Now, I'm not being mean when I make this statement, but I am being factual. I have never met a happy tightwad.
That's right.
And I have never met a grouchy giver.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to let it be known what God's doing and let others see us.
Amen.
That's true for missionaries as well. Missionary goes to the fields and lives in all kind of different circumstances for a number of years, come back home. You know what I discovered about missionaries? After they go serve a term on the field, come back for furlough, they're more anxious to get back to the field than Baptist church members are to get back to church on Sunday night. Amen. I'm telling you, only God, only grace can make a person look above all the difficulties of serving God and enjoy it and want more of it. And there's something in my soul said, if God can do it for them, God can do something for me. And the faith is built by the expounding of Scriptures, the expressions of satisfaction, the experiences of shared. Number two, write this down if you're taking notes. Not only build the faith of the church, but missions meetings like this will build the fellowship of the local church. Now, all I know to do is just be plain and factual. So Come on, buckle your seatbelt just a moment. I want to just say something and get on through it and go on. Most Baptist churches no longer split over doctrine.
That's right.
I think I know why. Most of them don't know enough doctrine to split over. It's a shame, but that's true. You know what Baptist church members leave the church over? You know what church is split over? The color of the carpet. Can you imagine blue chairs and red carpet and something else up here on this? They divide over what kind of drapery or curtains you have in the nursery. What kind of designs on the toilet tissue. One day as I was meditating, I asked myself the question, why do Baptists split over such trivial things? I believe I can tell you why. They have nothing any more important on their heart. Can I say something to you tonight? We get a vision of a world going to hell. A realization that we're headed to the judgment seat of Christ. A realization that this generation's blood will drip from our fingertips. You see, missions has a way of working. Three things. Let me just say them. They all go together. Missions will destroy a selfish spirit. You cannot maintain a selfish spirit and be involved in missions. Amen? And while it destroys that selfish spirit, it develops a sharing spirit. As far as I know, Pastor, they're not a member of this church that could carry out this church missions program financially by themselves. If they are, I want to meet them at the church. I don't know of one. But you know what? Pastor, you can put in yours. Brother Bale put in his. All these other men put in theirs. And together. 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 I'm telling you, missions will destroy that selfish spirit. Make us aware of the fact we can't do it by ourselves. But glory to God. Together! Together! It develops a sharing spirit. I can put mine as you put yours in. And together we can do something in the work of God for missions. Missions destroys a selfish spirit. But it develops a sharing spirit. Look at this. It also develops a steadfast spirit. Real missions-involved church members not only will be faithful in their mission money, they'll even come to Sunday school. They'll stay for preaching. They'll come back Sunday night. Amen. Missions develops the faith of the church. It develops the fellowship of the church. Number three, write this down. Missions will develop a fire in the local church. I'm talking about revival fire. Be sure what happens in missions. I've observed this through the years. It's in mission meeting like we're in tonight that we become conscious of souls that are lost. The men have got up here tonight and gave their testimony, and I didn't pick up on any number specifics, so I will not touch those three testimonies. That's not offensive on your testimony. I've sat back there where that return error is, and my hearing aids couldn't filter through everything. But anyway, listen to me. Here's a missionary called to a town that's got 100,000 people. Figurative. With me? Everybody with me? And 90% of them's lost. That sound like a common story?
Sure.
Everybody understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And that missionary gets up here and talks about it. No church in our town.
Yeah.
No church in the next town. Yeah. They're lost.
Right.
They're religious. Right. But you know what the Holy Ghost will do if we let Him? He'll cause you to look not just across the sea, but across the street.
Right.
How many lost people in this town? Wonder what percentage of the people in this town, Madisonville, Kentucky, wonder what percentage of the people here are religious but lost, or never been saved. I'm telling you, God makes us conscious, as our brother already preached, if a person's not born again of the Spirit of God with repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. And I believe that, by the way. But we are made conscious of souls that are lost. While we're made conscious of souls that are lost, we're made conscious of a Savior that loves them. That same, Brother Hall, that same missionary, talk about the 100,000 and 90% of them lost. And what goes through our mind, God loves every one of them. And Christ died for every one of them. And while God died, can I use the word we often use? While God's Son died for the heathen across the sea, He died for the sinner across the street from where you live. We become conscious of souls that are lost. We become conscious of the Savior that loves.
Amen.
And number three, we become conscious of the Spirit that leads.
Amen.
Oh, I like to hear missionaries tell how God's done went and put it together.
Yeah.
Again, I'm using a make-believe story, but it would fit many missionary stories. Here's a young man surrenders to be a missionary in his home church. Not even married, not really serious about anybody. To serve the Lord effectively, he feels the need of going for a higher education, some Bible school. So he prays about it in all the Bible colleges across the country. Brother Shepherd, it just seemed like there's one God puts in his heart. It may not be the biggest. It may not be looked at as the best. It may not be the one that the brethren altogether approve of. But for some reason, preacher, God put it in his heart to go there. Little does he know, but somewhere else across the country, God's working in the heart of a young lady. To come to the same Bible college, and a lot of times they don't even know each other.
Right.
One day it could be in the classroom, it could be in the dining hall, it could be in the study, or in the social activity center, somewhere. I don't want to be carnal, but his eyes meets her eyes. Something inside him goes, wow. Woo! And he's got it. I mean, he hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
They start talking and talking and talking grows. And one day she says to him, now, before we go any further with this, he says to her, there's something I need to tell you. She's about to panic. What is it? He said, God called me to be a missionary. And before we go any further, I'm pointing you crew out. I don't mean to embarrass you, but they're just sitting there so close together and meet the bill. But I don't know what happened in your life. But tear comes down her eyes, and he's afraid he's lost her. When she gets where she can speak again, she said, when I was 14 years old in a mission conference, I went forward and surrendered my life to be a missionary. Now, if you're a carnal, you can sit around and say, well, what about that? But if you're spiritual, you can say, God led them.
Sure.
They go to the marriage altar. God directs them what mission board or where they're going out of the church or what they're going to do. Then they start on that road of debutation, and you missionaries are finding this out. Most of those you thought would, don't.
Yeah.
Them that you thought wouldn't or couldn't, do.
Yeah.
Amen. And one day, when it's over with, they stop and just reminisce. 3 years or whatever it's been on debutation. And when they come to the bottom line, preacher, in their heart, they say, the Lord's led us all the way.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit led us all the way.
They
go to the field. And I got to speed this up or I'll be too long. But they go to the field. They get a work started there in some little garage or shelter or whatever they do to start one there. And all of a sudden, this is out of the way, but all of a sudden, Brother Herbert, they're driving down the road one day, and he stops that little old vehicle in and said, look up there on that hill. She looks up there and said, I don't see nothing. What is it? He said, look again. She said, all I see is trees or cattle. He said, now close your eyes and look at that church house sitting up there. They contact the man that owns it, and he said, you know, for years, I wouldn't sell that, but I told my wife the other day, I believe I'll sell that piece of property.
Amen.
I'm making that story up, but I'm telling you, that story is a reality for so many mission couples.
Right. Yeah.
And God sends in somebody to do this part and that part, all the labor, and finally the building's finished, and again they back up and say, the Holy Ghost put it all together. God's led us all the way. But here back in our local church, you know what we say? Boy, if God can do that for a missionary on the mission field, God can do it at the church I pastor, at the church I'm a member. I'm saying it will build a fire. That local church.
Yes,
number four, missions will build not only the faith, the fellowship, the fire, but missions will build the finances.
Yes,
I have written in my notes, if you have a church that's sick financially, put it on a missions diet. I've told this in a lot of situations. But Brother Herbert, this is personal now. We lost a bunch of people a few years ago at the church at Concord, and our giving was down. And our church backed up. Some of it even unbeknown to the pastor, the finance committee maybe, but backed up, Brother Shepherd, on what we do. We have our faith promise, but then the church puts in an amount every Sunday as well, and they quit putting in the church's amount. We had a men's meeting one night. They invited me in on it, finance committee and pastor. And one of our young men, I'm telling you, he grew about 6 foot just that one meeting in my eyes. He said, "Brother, I've heard," and he pointed, "Brother Allen, I've heard you," he pointed me, "I've heard you preach what Dr. Schleitler did when he got low in missions money, was take on another missionary."
Right.
And I've heard both of you pointing me and Pastor Allen, I've heard both of you say God would honor us if we took care of missions first, and we have backed up on our missions. He said, I didn't say I make a motion, but he said, I move that we consider getting something going again. And there in that meeting, that decision was made, presented to our church, we're going to pick that back up and go with it again.
Amen.
And he told me the other day, we had some few thousand dollars left in the missions money that was ahead. It had been behind quite a bit. The church budget's got a few thousand dollars, not a big amount, but we've paid all the bills and everything's up to date. I'm telling you, God will bless a church financially when we learn God will give through you to give to missions what He'll not give to you.
Amen.
To spend on yourself. God's spoon's bigger than your shovel.
Amen.
When I went in faith promise giving in 1974, I almost didn't do it because at the church at Bethel, the month of February, it was a winter month, we had some things that came due. But that month, preacher, our church went $200 in the red. This is 1974 now, $200 is a lot bigger than it is now. And I almost didn't do it. All I can say is grace won over again. We did it. We started Faith Promise Missions Meeting. We took our first Faith Promise commitment, and it went up just about $100. It was about $104 a week. Faith Promise commitment. It came in. We were able to add 10 more missionaries to the mission budget when we were through with it. And then I noticed something else. Not only that mission offering was about $105, $10 a week. But preacher, the tithes and offerings went up about $100 a week.
Amen.
You say, preacher, would you explain that? I'd be glad to. Give me your undivided attention. I'll tell you how it works. G-O-D.
Amen.
God honors faith.
Yes, sir.
God honors obedience to the Word of God.
Yes.
It's not my program. It's not something I dreamed up. But I'm saying to you, it's God's plan, and God honors us when we honor Him.
Right.
And many stories. I've had the wonderful privilege. Many stories. I remember going, let me tell you one. I got to move to close. I remember going to a church over in South Carolina. I think this is in my book on missions. And they were trying, I preached a revival, just a revival meeting, Brother Shepherd. And they were trying to build a fellowship hall behind the church, kind of like you've got here, and back behind the church like this. And they went down there and got a bank to estimate, appraise their property. And they appraised it for $28,000, just a plain old block building. I spent that week in a revival meeting, and I talked to that pastor over and over again about how God is blessing our mission meeting. Before I left there, he said to me, "We got to have one of them. Can you come and preach us one?" I went over and preached. It's the smallest faith promise I've ever taken in my life to this day. But more than money, God got a hold of that pastor's heart.
Amen.
That pastor became the head of a mission board for at least 20 years. I saw that church move over out of town, out of the swamp, out of the slum area, buy some acreage there on a beautiful hillside, build a $1 million church building facility, and paid for it in 7 years. And the same 7 years they paid $1 million for the building, they gave $1 million to missions.
Amen.
They went from about 4,800 every week. That 4,800 for the year to about 4,800 a week in the offering, and then it exceeded that, more than that. And they went from about 50 members and zero missionaries to about 300 members and about 325 missionaries.
Amen.
I could give you the name. I'm not going to do it speaking openly like this. I'm just simply telling you, over and over and over and over and over and over again, I've seen it. We have a great example in the Bible. The Corinthian church backed away from missions and they went down.
Yes, sir. Right.
But the Macedonian churches dared to trust God, believe God, obey God. And that church, those churches went up.
Yes, sir.
And they had an abundance of joy.
Amen.
And a great trial of affection. Number five, let me give you these quickly. Not only build the faith of the church, it'll build the fire in the local church, it'll build the fellowship of the local church. But a missions program that honors God, not build the finances of the church, but a mission program that honors God, will build the field of your local church.
Amen.
Now, you've got the radio outreach preaching. I'm going to exclude that just a moment. Thank God for radio outreach. But if you did not have the radio outreach and you did not have a mission program, you could spend the rest of your life and you could really disciple these people, train them, and just start a circle right around here. You wouldn't reach a 50-mile radius to use an old man and die.
Right.
All your fruit's going to be right there.
Right.
In that little field.
Right.
But not so in missions.
Amen.
Every missionary this church supports, you know what they do? They go open a branch office of Allen Ford Baptist Church.
Amen.
Their fruit becomes your fruit. I like to rub this in. The church I'm a member of, we have missionaries in Australia and Papua New Guinea, and they're 15 hours ahead of us. So that means at 7 o'clock every Saturday evening, they start our Sunday school in Papua New Guinea. Where's our brother at in Papua New Guinea? Somebody. The time changes. We're in central time here, but where I live, 15 hours when we're on the right schedule of time. 15 hours. Well, a couple hours later, we just jump over to Korea, and they start our Korean Sunday school. An hour later, we jump over to Japan. They start our Japanese Sunday school. And our Philippines. And they come across Asia, Africa, and Europe all the way from 7 on Saturday evening until 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock on, when we're back at 5 o'clock on Sunday morning. They're starting our Sunday school.
Amen.
They're preaching our Sunday morning messages. Sunday night follows behind. Old Brother Roger Tooley will be here, I think, one day this week from England. What a job. God's blessed Brother Roger.
Amen.
Work over there. Thank God for it. But then we cross the Atlantic and we pick up on Eastern time at 10 o'clock. An hour later, we sort of support some folk in Central time zone and they come in, Brother Jeff, an hour later. And then we got some out in mountain zone out in Colorado up the smoke of the Rocky Mountains there. And so they kick in at 12 o'clock, 2 hours behind us. And then on the western coast of Pacific time, they kick in at 3 hours behind us. And then our missionaries in Alaska are 4 hours behind us. 2 o'clock Saturday evening, Sunday evening, they're starting our Sunday school in Alaska.
Amen.
We have over 30 hours of church every week. If you were to call Brother Allen and ask him knowing what I said tonight, call me and ask me, call Brother Randy and ask him, how many did you have in church yesterday? You know what we have to say? I really don't know. The report's not all in.
Amen.
How many got saved? I don't know. The report's not all in.
Amen.
Y'all think I'm dreaming. You understand what I'm saying? Our field comes from a few acres, a few miles around the world. You see, Jesus said to the disciples, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, plural.
That's right.
Matthew 13:38. The world is a field.
That's right.
As far as God's concerned, there's one field, but as far as we're concerned, there are many fields.
That's right. Amen.
Through missions.
Yes, sir.
There'll be fruit.
Amen.
Let me say this. I'm not trying to be different. I'm not trying to just throw your things to question. But Brother Shepherd, I do believe there will be a missions report time at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, sir.
I believe we're going to have to give an account for the Great Commission. And I believe you're going to have to give an account as pastor and Brother Hall in his days of leading the church in the mission program. And I believe your missionary is going to give a report back to you to the work they've done. And you're going to face God together at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't believe we're going to just slide in and forget it. I'm telling you, we're head of the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not going to be a fun time when we give an account to what we've done with His last command, which really should be our first concern. But it builds a faith. It builds a fire. It builds a fellowship. It builds a finances. It builds a field. May I say number six? It builds a future. I feel like since I'm not pastoring all these years, somebody's going to think I'm being mean. I'm not being mean to say this. But I preach. Brother Doug, I preach in churches that'll seat 300 and 400 with 30 people.
That's right. Yep.
I preach in churches through the years. I still try to pray, and I'm not boasting. I still try to pray for every church that's supported me since I've been out full time, nearly 35 years. I'm just telling you what I do. In that list of church preachers, at least four times I pray for the remnant of. You know what that means? Four churches. And I'm not talking about a little handful of them. I'm talking about some of them had big meetings. Some of them had big names. I'm telling you, to cut off missions is to commit spiritual suicide to your church. And the death bells will start tolling in that place.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, if God can find a church, are you listening to me? If God can find a church, that missions is a top priority, that church. God will put His presence, His power, His peace, His provision, and His production on that church. God will honor the church that honors the Great Commission. Number seven, I'm through. It not only will fill these, will affect these other things, but number seven, it will affect the final reward of this church. Thank God for padded chairs. When you got somebody preaching as long as Brother Sutton does. Thank God for padded chairs.
Yes,
thank God for air conditioning.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? As far as I know now, you Bible students, hit me. If you can hit me, sir, hit me. I don't want to be wrong. I have never found anything that even hints in the Bible where that the church building committee, the building committee, is going to get together, Brother Herbert, and discuss what kind of seats did y'all have over in your sanctuary. I don't think the piano players are going to get together and say, well, what did you play?
Right.
The air conditioning, it won't be discussed.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
But I'm telling you what will be discussed. When these missionaries come from their fields of service that you supported and bring in their fruit.
Amen.
God will make it worth it. Let me close with this true story. And I'm through all the stories I've told are true, by the way. Matter of speech. I started my first church when I was 23 years old and knew everything. We started a tent meeting. Just, you know, put it in our heart. Well, I didn't know anything was going to happen. Four nights we went in that tent meeting. And Brother Loxton, on Friday morning, the Lord sent a storm and just ripped that tent all to pieces. I'd bought it, had to raise the money to pay for it. God paid for it. I shouldn't even complain. But I bought it. You know what I'd done? You know what I'd done, Brother Sutton? I blamed the devil. That low-down devil didn't want us to have that meeting. We'd had 12 saved the first four nights. That sorry devil tore that tent. But we didn't miss a night, Brother Shepherd. There was an empty church building about 3 or 4 miles away. And we got permission. First night in that building, I didn't preach. People got saved. Second night, I didn't preach. People got saved. We stayed there 3 weeks. We had 28 people get right with God. And out of that, God birthed the church.
Amen.
But anyway, during that time, we had a man saved. I got to make this short. We had a man saved. And then he came and joined our church. I was preaching a revival meeting. He went with me to another revival in another church. But when he got saved in that church, he came and joined our church. I baptized him and became a choir director, one of the best friends I'd had. I did not know in just a few years, maybe 5, 6, 7 years, the phone would ring on a Saturday afternoon, weeping voice. His sister-in-law said, "Preacher, can you come to the hospital? There's been a bad wreck and we're afraid Walt's been killed." I took off the hospital, and sure enough, he was dead on arrival. My wife did, and I did what you men of God have done. We ministered to the family. We stayed there, and they got ready to leave, and we went home with them, made phone calls, and worked with them to wear on over in the night. Sunday morning, we got up. They went to the funeral home, made the arrangements. I went on to church and preached, and then at 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon, we met at the mortuary. And Brother Shepherd, every man of God here has done it. I mean, you help them down the aisle. You hold them up sometimes if need be. And as a man of God, you just got to stiffen your back and just hold your shoulders up. And then you get your moment later when you can come back and reflect on it. All you preachers know what I'm talking about. We helped that little wife. She's a year older than I was. Helped her down the aisle. My wife and I stood there and held her while she looked in his face. Mama come down and held her there. And mother-in-law. And they could not have any children. They adopted a little boy, Tim. Tim was 3 years old. I picked little Tim up and let him look over in the face of his daddy. In a little while, everybody come around. And I went back. And I stood there and I'm looking in his cold face. In my mind, I was thanking God for saving him. Thanking God for what a friend he had been. All of a sudden, I got aware of the fact somebody's standing behind me. I looked, and it was Mother, and I reached back and just put my arm kind of around her shoulder and pulled her in, and we stood there a moment for silence, and then she spit out of my hand, out of my arm. She looked at me, and she said, "Preacher, you know what I was thinking?" And I said, "What, sister?" The best I can quote it, preacher, here's what she said. "I was thinking what a different story this funeral would have been if you hadn't loved him and prayed for him and stayed after him." Just a few days, I finished 57 years of preaching. I've never had that said again. But at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe we'll get to see it. Somebody come up one of these missionaries' fruit, and somebody's going to say something like this. "You know what I was thinking?" "What?" "I was thinking, what a different story this funeral would have been if you hadn't loved us. Gave, prayed for us,
amen,
and sent us a missionary."
Yes, sir. Amen.
That story can just be multiplied over and over, something like this. I remember when Daddy was a drunk,
right,
beat Mama. My older sisters, my brothers were men of ill reputation. I was involved in sin myself. But I'll never forget the day that missionary walked down our road.
Amen.
Knocked on our door,
yes,
and invited us to the church house and told us about a Lord that loved us. Mama went. Sisters went. Sister got saved. Mama got saved. And one day, I got saved.
Amen.
And here I am today standing at the judgment seat of Christ, fixing to go into heaven, instead of standing at the great white throne judgment.
Yep.
Be cast into hell.
Right.
Because Island Ford Baptist Church loved, prayed, gave, and sent us a missionary. I'm telling you, this is about this church, the faith of this church, the fellowship of this church, the fire in this church, the field of this church, the finances of this church, the future of this church, and the final reward.
Amen.
I believe some of the greatest rewards at the judgment seat of Christ will be the surprises. The fruit of our missionaries and their giving. Oh, we get a letter, and please keep the letters coming. I'm not condemning the letter, but read the letter, and oftentimes we forget it. But at the judgment seat of Christ, somebody's going to come up and say, hey, you remember sending us that missionary? You remember sending us that missionary? I'm one of them he wrote about. I heard the gospel. I got saved. I'm here because Island Ford Baptist Church loved and prayed and cared and sent us a missionary. So church, let me say this, and you all your visitors, well, you got a church somewhere. Missions, yes, it's for reaching the world with the gospel. Yes, it's for helping the missionaries. But first and foremost, it's a church doing what God put the church and leaves the church here on earth to do.
Yes, sir.
To carry out His great commission. It's not a great choice. It's a great commandment. Let's stand together, if you would please. Our musicians are coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.